Unibet. Episode 114. Alex Petan, Stürmer. Hydrofeher war AV19.
Our dynamics are very similar to last year, and in a lot of ways we're statistically better this year. So I do think the potential is still there. I think we have more in the tank and more to show. And I think, throughout this last part of the season, we'll show that. But, I don't think we've had a full healthy lineup much at all this year. So, I'm really excited to see when everyone is fully back in the lineup and we're firing on all cylinders.
Die Tribüne erhebt sich. Und der Hexenkessel kocht. Da bleibt kein Moment, um einmal durchzuatmen. Bring it on. Mit dem Tortender! Abgefälscht und die Scheibe im Tor. Aus dem Nichts. Wie schön war das gemacht?
Unibet Hockey O'Clock. It is finally time to head eastwards. As far east as the Ice Hockey League permits, it's the first time this season of Unibet Hockey O'Clock that we have a guest from Hydrofeervar AV19. And I couldn't be more pleased to finally have him on the show. It's none other than Alex Petan. And Alex, thanks so much for taking the time on a Tuesday morning.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad to be on here and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Alex, finally, we get an update from Hydrofeervar AV19, a team that brought so much joy to Ice Hockey League fans last year with an incredible run to the finals. Obviously, this year, a little rockier. And eventually we're going to get to that. But of course, a lot of fans have been wondering, you've been out quite some time, obviously injured. When are fans able to expect you back on the ice?
No, I mean, it's definitely nothing major, but it's just an upper body injury that kind of needs a little bit of rest. Honestly, there's nothing else that I could really say other than letting it heal its own. So basically I'm hoping I'm going day by day, feeling better each day, and I hope in the next week or two I should be able to be back.
It speaks for your scoring prowess that you're still the scoring leader for Feervar AV19, even though you've been out for quite some time. Obviously, a lot of Feervar fans are looking forward to having you back and seeing you back on the ice. But how hard is it, and you're not part of the current road trip, that the three-game road trip that Feervar is on, how hard is it to have to watch your guys from afar?
It's awful, honestly, if I'm going to be honest with that. I've been fortunate enough throughout my whole career, especially in Europe, I haven't really been hurt. Other than maybe missing a game at the most, and it's hard. I don't remember it being this hard. Watching the team, especially on the road, not being there. And then even I got one home game the other night on Friday against Ljubljana at home. And even just being at the game and not being able to help the team in any way, just watching, just kind of, it's a weird feeling. It gives me anxiety. I want to be out there, and it's almost hard to watch. I almost don't even want to come anymore. But it sucks, obviously, if you ask anyone that can't play and help their team win, especially in such a tight race right now for securing a playoff spot in the top six. And that's kind of our goal right now with the last, 9 or 10 games left. So hoping to be back soon, but the boys are doing an okay job, and I'm proud of them for getting some wins, and hopefully that continues.
We're recording this conversation on a Tuesday. Yesterday, Feervar played the Pioneers in Vorarlberg. They secured a point, but they let one slip away as the Pioneers won in overtime, which, by the way, were the first 2 points that they ever recorded against Feervar. How are you following games of your team if you're not part of it? Do you watch live on or live via stream, or do you follow the live score, or don't you watch it, follow it at all, waiting for updates from your teammates? How does this work?
No, I definitely watch it live. I'm all day. I'm waiting for the game to start. So I guess I am excited to watch the game in general. But yeah, I've been watching every game on the road live on my computer. We set up, you know, our team sets me up with their account there, and it's great. I can watch it live. The feed's been good, so I can't complain there. But yeah, unfortunately, didn't get the result that we wanted last night. But you got to take the positives out of everything. And you know, we were down with you know, only a couple minutes to go, and Brett Finley scored a really big goal for us to get, you know, our point that we got. And you know, we haven't really been the best overtime team, and it kind of, the trend is kind of still going there, unfortunately, but hopefully it'll stop at some point. But any point matters right now, and happy that we found one.
Let's remain with the positives. Obviously, just 1 point secured out of 6 possible points on the road trip so far. Sunday in Bolzano, Monday in Feldkirch. But still, any positive things that you can take away, that your team can take away from those two games, that will give Fehervar fans hope as well that top 6 is still going to be possible?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think... just from watching the games, I think our energy level is there. We're competing really hard, and it's kind of been the story all season for us. You know, our goals aren't coming very easy, and they're not coming in bunches. You know, we can't seem to score multiple goals a game every game, and I think that's where games are kind of being a little bit close. And you know, the game of hockey is so back and forth that you know, you're not going to win all those games. So. I think that's the biggest difference from this season's success compared to last year. I think we just put the puck more in the net last year, and whether that's a little bit of luck or whatever it is, it's interesting. But I think moving forward, we really have to focus on just keep playing what we do and our system. We have to trust it, and it's worked in the past, so it's going to work in the future. And I think everyone, just if they put that, you know, pedal to the metal kind of saying for the last 10 games, it's playoff time now for us. So it's exciting. And hopefully everyone's energy levels kind of increase and for that little push.
Kind of taking away my questions, because obviously the problems on offense for Fehervar are fairly obvious to basically everybody who's been following the club for the past couple of years. And I want to dig a little deeper. I mean, I know hockey is a game of chance and chances, and you made a lot of those the past couple of years. But if you had to narrow it down to maybe one or two things, why hasn't scoring really worked for Fehervar this year as it did the past couple of them?
That's a question that I wish there was an answer for. You know, we kind of... as leaders on the team, the older guys, you know, we're a lot in contact a lot with our coaching staff. And, you know, that's a question that we ask ourselves. And, you know, if we had the answer to that, it probably wouldn't be a problem. So it's interesting because we do go over kind of our stats from, you know, comparing to last year. And I'm saying like just small stats as in shooting and blocking shots and, you know, goals against obviously is a lot better this year, and a lot of different areas are statistically better this year, which makes almost no sense that you know, we can't you know, figure out the goal scoring situation. But I think you just got to keep grinding, and like I said, we're a very, very solid defensive team, and in the long run, you kind of want you need that to win a championship. So perhaps when the timing is right, it could work out again for us once the, you know, once we get that spot in the playoffs. And as you know, anything can happen in the playoffs, and we just got to focus on that and keep doing the things we do well, and focus on our system. And I think time will tell.
I think everybody who follows hockey knows that scoring can be fluky at times, but conceding goals really isn't. And the way you came down hard on teams as regards conceding goals is remarkable. So much better on defense, and usually, and I have to back this up a little bit because I'm doing basically play-by-play commentary on two sports, not only hockey, but also American football. And it's interesting to see that if you're the runner-up in the finals or in a Super Bowl, usually you're in for a bad season. Obviously, Cincinnati Bengals in the National Football League try to turn that corner. Hopefully, Fehervar is going to do as well. But there's this finals hangover. Fehervar encountered it at times, but then again, the defense and the goaltending has gotten so much better. Why?
Like I said, I mean, it was pretty, we're pretty fortunate to keep our core team together. Like, not too many changes this year compared to last year. So it was really, really nice and refreshing to kind of know everyone, and the chemistry was still there. And but, you know, like I said before, there's not really an answer directly towards that. It's more so every season is different. Even if you do have the same team, if you look at the NHL, you know, teams are, they could be in first place one year and then they're in the middle of the pack the next with the exact same roster they have. So it's a cool thing about sport. And I think if we continue down this road of defensively staying very strong, I think the offensive side will take care of itself.
You've already said that the playoff run is already started for Hydro Fehervar AV19. And in preparation of this talk, I tried to gather some current odds as regards the championship. And of course, Salzburg is still the favorite to win the championship at odds of 1-2, followed by Bolzan at 1-5. If we look at Fehervar, and still as a reminder, this is the team that went to the finals last year on an incredible run. You're currently sitting at odds of 1-24. That's kind of right in the middle. Is that a role that you as a leader on your team likes, because you're probably not getting as much credit as you should as the runner-up of the finals?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can speak for myself. Like in my experience in our league here, and I've been kind of a part of every team I've been a part of has been the underdogs per se. You know, we were never been in a position where we were supposed to win. So it's exciting. Every year is exciting. It's, you know, if you do any of your polls, you know, I don't really follow or believe in those polls all too much, but, you know, you always see, if you see your team kind of in the middle or towards the bottom, it's very motivating for me, and definitely used that motivation last year, and hopefully we can all use it again this year, especially with I actually have never heard of the odds there until now, so it actually puts a little bit of a fire in my belly. And like I said, it's such a tight season and such a tight league this year that, you know, once the top eight are set and we believe that we will be a part of that, anything can happen. And it's a long series and it's a lot of fun. So I'm excited for it.
Those odds obviously being provided by our good friends over at Unibet. And as a lot of listeners of this program already know, Unibet has a special offer for all new customers. It's a 400% welcome bonus. Just use the promo code HOCKEY minus bonus while putting 10% or pardon me, 10 euros into your new account for the first time and receive 40 euros for free. More details in the show notes of this podcast. And as always, Unibet by players for players. And you know, Alex, it couldn't be at a better time to have you on with everything that went on during Fehervar season, with everything you've been through in Europe. And just the other day, I had the distinct honor of doing commentary on a game with Anton Bernard, and obviously your former captain or your former teammate on Bolzano. We talked a little bit about the season and how everything's been unfolding, and obviously how back in the day, everything worked, and we talked about you and the current problems with Fehervar. And I'm like, let's just go back to the 17-18 season. Coincidentally, your very first year in Europe, and just how everything unfolded in Bolzano that year. You were at times the last place team, and then just went on a magic carpet ride that ended with a game 7 victory in the finals in Salzburg. And now going through not as bad a season, but a rocky season with a championship caliber team. What things do you as a team leader can take away from that magic carpet ride with Bolzano in your first year in Europe that might aid Fehava for the upcoming season or for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first and foremost, you know, that it just goes to show that every season is different at any given year. And there was probably a little bit of magic or a little bit of luck on our side that year for sure. And but we didn't have, you know, we didn't have the best team. We didn't have the most talent in the league. It kind of, I believe that it's the same dynamic here in Fehervar. You know, we don't, on paper, I don't think we have the best team in the league. And I think, you know, it goes to show that, you know, if you come together as a team and you truly believe in yourselves, anything can happen. So I think that's the mentality that, you know, I, as one of the older guys, as an experienced guy that kind of went through the ringer that year and obviously won that championship. It put a lot of thought towards me and my wisdom towards being a part of a team like this. And, you know, I tried my best to rely that on our team last year, and, you know, we did as best as we could. And, but this year is very unique as well. And I think, like I said earlier, the playoffs kind of start now. And I remember our team, with Anton that year, our playoffs started in December or maybe end of November, mentally. We couldn't really, every game was kind of a do or die. So I think, you know, it's not as deep and as negative as that year was. This year, you know, I think we're still in a very good spot in the league, but we kind of have to switch our mentality to every night is a do or die, and it's a game 7. And you got to give credit to the Pioneers last night. I mean, their season is a little bit different. Their last place you know, they still beat a very good hockey team in us. And it goes to show that, you know, if you believe in yourself and you put that foot forward, you know, you can win any game against anybody. So that's our mentality. And I think I'm just really excited to get back into the dressing room every day and try to portray that energy and positivity around the boys. And hopefully in the next little stretch here, try to get some more wins.
What you just mentioned is indeed the beauty of this league, with a handful of games that are still to be played. There's no team yet that's out of playoff contention. Even the Pioneers could still make it to the pre-playoffs. But if we go back to that 17-18 Bolzano team that just encountered a lot of problems, and obviously the coach was exchanged during the year, and with Kai Suikkonen, you slowly but steadily had success, and during the playoffs, you just caught fire and became that kind of playoff beast that a lot of people are still talking about. But really, when you try to narrow it down to the nitty gritty, what was the one thing, or what were the couple few things that needed to be changed to go from a cellar dweller in the league to a force to be reckoned with?
Yeah, I think it starts with the players. I believe, you know, leadership is a big thing for us that year. And we had, you know, European leaders, as in Alexander Egger was our captain, but he was the leader. And we had a Mike Angelides who was kind of our North American captain per se. And it was interesting that year that, you know, when we all came together and had a couple meetings and we laid out our feelings, and it started with them just to kind of make us believe as a group that, you know, we can do this thing and we can turn the ship around. And so I think it really does start within the guys in the room and coming together, because like I said, we definitely didn't have even close to the best talent in the league. And but it's amazing when a group of guys come together and play for each other every minute of every night. It's pretty incredible to see the results and what a team can do. So and obviously, you know, the rest was history for that side. So like I said, I mean, bringing that experience over here is a great thing to have in the back of your mind, and you learn a lot of things from that. And I've tried to bring those memories and those learning curves from leaders on our team, like Anton and Alexander and those guys, over to, you know, to my career and to our captaincies, and it's a beautiful thing. So I'm really, really excited to, like I said, get back into it and, you know, have talks with our guys and just try to make everyone get on the same page and let's just go for it.
We're going to get back to the here and now, and I promise you that, but one thing that I still want to figure out for that 17-18 season with Bolzano, and one thing that I think never told anyone in English, obviously in German a couple of years ago, maybe even on this program, I just don't remember it right now, was the time I worked the finals as a broadcaster of the old league rights holder, the German speaking one. And I remember vividly being at game six of the finals in the Palo Hondo in Bolzano. Everybody, or maybe most of the people, expecting Salzburg to close out the series. And, you know, the hallway, like the long one with the Salzburg lockers to the left, the Bolzano lockers to the right. And just we as broadcasters were able to walk through the entire hallway and seeing both teams. Salzburg getting to the game like 3 hours before, doing their cardio for like an hour to get warmed up. Meanwhile, on the right-hand side of that hallway, it's Bolzano and it's the equipment manager's locker. And there is Alexander Egger and Anton Bernhard in it, sipping their espresso, being like the most relaxed guys on the planet, even though all the pressure of this world lasts under or is on their shoulders. Meanwhile, Salzburg guys sweating their bottoms off, and Bolzano having this incredible calmness. Was that calmness one of the secret ingredients to your success?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, when it comes to preparation for the game, you know, everyone has their own individual ways of getting ready and prepared for a big game like that. Yeah, I mean, we just had that mentality where we had nothing to lose. Like we were here, you know, 3 months before that, our season was completely done. And we just, throughout that run, kept, you know, every series that we won, we just were like, wow, we did it. We did this. Why not just keep going? So I think, throughout that, when the calm before the storm, I guess we can call it, but, yeah, I mean, why would we change the way that we did things, just for that moment, even though the pressure was there? And, we just kept doing our thing and it was working and it worked all the way to the end. So, mind you, I mean, I think once we stepped onto that ice with 7,000 or 8,000 people screaming, towards, you know, our team at home, it's pretty hard to stay calm at that point. So I think, all of our hearts, kind of jump-started at that point, and that off to the races we went. But, that's pretty funny story there. I mean, that's the culture. That's the culture there in Italy, and I'm not surprised one bit. And like I said, those were the two leaders on our team, so they led the way, and they kept us calm until we finally lost our stuff after that final buzzer went in Salzburg. So I don't think we were very calm after that.
If one's got the fortune to text back and forth with you as I did these days on WhatsApp, obviously one encounters a profile picture that is something, because it's you with the Carlton Edward Trophy, obviously from that game 7 in Salzburg. If you look at that picture, what memories does this day bring back? What's the first thing that you think back of?
Oh, I mean, it's just as you know what, the other day, you know, obviously I still follow the Foxes and everything, so I see all their posts, and I think the other day they brought back kind of the memory of the movie that they made for that season. And I tuned in a little bit, you know, obviously skipped through for a few parts that were my favorites. And I mean, I've seen it so many times now, but I guess your question and the photo there, I honestly just don't, I haven't changed that for a long time, but that moment there. Yeah, I mean, that moment there was obviously probably one of the best, if not the best moment in my hockey career so far. And I can say that anytime you win a championship, not only is it a great feeling, but just to share it with your teammates and the people around you at that moment, you're never going to forget that. And still to this day, you know, unfortunately, I get to still play with players on that team every year with the Italian national team. And you know, we talk about it all the time, and every time we do, the goosebumps come, and those memories will never fade. So my old college coach Mel Pearson always said, you know, if you win a championship, it's engraved and it's stapled and it's never going to go away, and that's history. So kind of thinking that way, it's going to be history, it's going to be a memory that lasts a lifetime as long as you're here, and it'll never go away. So that, I guess, all those thoughts come with that photo.
Problem is, you yourself set up the follow-up question when you were talking about great moments or important moments during that season or in that video that you were watching. What is the single most important one to you? The one that always sends goosebumps across the goosebumps that you're having?
I don't know. I guess I haven't really thought of a one moment there. There's so many memories, so many moments that kind of raise the hairs on your arms. But I guess right at the beginning of the movie, I guess I want to say it was Mike Halamo speaking, and I guess it became the title of the movie, or Miracle. It's funny, Miracle on Ice, kind of like the copyright of the Olympics there in the 80s, 1980 or whatever. But it really was, honestly, if you take a look at, you know, the entire process, the small little details that I guess a miracle, you could call it a miracle, like, you know, even the last game of the season being down 3-0 against Zanoimo, you know, the season could have been completely over at that point in February or March, whenever it was. And then it lasted another 2 months. So it was, honestly, that when I think of the whole picture, that moment, that game, I think was the most important moment in my eyes where we switched our belief system. And I think, you know, from being so down after the first period and then making the playoffs after the game, all of a sudden everyone just kind of got a big, you know, belief and energy over our brains and our hearts, and the city, you can tell, was behind us. So I can't really pick a moment in general, but I think when I think of the season as a whole, and the whole miracle, I think that game was pretty special, and it kind of paved the way for the rest of the story.
The one, indeed, last thing that we need to talk about as regards that championship run is something that I dug up from the Unibet stats when preparing for this conversation, because your playoff stat line to this day is one of the more interesting ones. I'll tell it for all the listeners back home. It's 18 games played, 8 goals, no assists. Does it just reflect a playoff mindset, taking every chance that you get in scoring goals and being like the right kind of selfish at times, or is it pure coincidence?
Yeah, it's for sure coincidence. I definitely, I don't even think in any stat line I've had more goals than assists in my entire career. So, no, honestly, I always kick myself wishing I was more selfish. But that's an interesting stat line. I haven't really thought about that too much. But it just goes again with the bounces and the miracles and the timing of everything. And I guess you know, it ended up being that way. It's just interesting. But no, it definitely is coincidence. And I think it was just a pure desperation and drive and will to win that I just, you know, a little bit of luck, obviously. And it's pretty funny to see it in that. But those things really didn't matter for us. It was just anyone that could put the puck in the net was something that made us really, really happy. And it didn't matter who it was. So at that point, it was super cool to be a part of a team like that.
And the beauty of the Unibet stats and all the statisticians working on it is, of course, that it wasn't the first time that you had more goals than assists, because your last collegiate year when you played for Michigan Tech in the NCAA, you had 18 goals and 15 assists in 36 games. But of course, that's just a side note. When I knew I'd be able to bring you on, I of course tried to dig a little deeper as regards people that you know, as regards teammates that he played with. And I got a great assist from, of course, Anton Bernard, because I asked him, who are the guys who know Alex Petan really well? And he immediately pointed me towards a former teammate and now an opponent on Hatsi Pusatal. It's, of course, no one else than Anthony Badaro. And I got in touch with him and I said to him, look, Anthony, I've got Alex Petan on the show. You know him well. Is there anything you can tell me about him that might broaden the horizons of listeners as regards him? Anthony immediately got back to me, sent me this. I want to listen in with you on this, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start with Alex. My mother and his mother have been really close friends since they were in grade school, growing up in East Vancouver together. And, you know, naturally, Alex and I have been best buddies since we were born. At this point, I'd say we're pretty much more family than we are friends. I feel like, you know, I could spend 3 hours sitting here telling you stories about all the stuff that we've done over the last 30 years. I feel like we've been through pretty much everything that you could think of together. But yeah, when the question came up, one story came to mind, and we just finished up the World Championships. It was actually our first time ever getting the chance to play pro hockey together on the same team. And yeah, the tournament had just ended, so we were back in Bolzano getting ready to go back to Canada for the summer, and we decided to go out for some drinks and celebrate. So we go downtown, and you know, at this point, I'd been playing in Bolzano for 2 years and I'd gotten to know a lot of people in town, you know, really enjoyed it there. And I think when we were at this time now, Alex probably hadn't played in Bolzano for 2, maybe 3 seasons, but he had spent 2 years playing there before I got there. So anyways, we go downtown and we're just walking around, and, you know, Alex has always been the guy that has the connections, that knows people, that knows where to go, what to do. So, you know, it was pretty surreal to me that he'd been gone from Bolzano that long, yet walking around downtown, he's kind of leading the way and telling us, you know, where we should go, what we should do. And he's got to go see his friend here, go see his friend there. He's got to go, you know, say hi to this person and that person. And, you know, it's not much of a story in terms of something crazy that happened, but I think it just really explains Alex and who he is. I mean, since we were kids or, you know, teenagers, adults, he's always been that magnetic person. You know, you walk into a room and the longer Alex spends standing in one spot, the more people there are gathered around him and want to be around him and talking to him. And, you know, for me to have been in Bolzano that long and then feel like you know, this guy that hadn't been there in years, it was like he'd been living there for the last 15 years. I mean, he seems to know everybody and he's always saying hi, talking to everybody, making sure everyone's doing okay. And I just think that's how Alex is, how he's always been. He has that ability to create long lasting relationships with people, and he truly cares about people. And I think people notice that and they feel that right away. And, you know, I could think of tons of funny stories and times that we've had where we're laughing for hours on end. But I think this really just explains him better as a person in terms of the effect that he has on people and the places that he goes. I mean, he's got that magnetic personality and people just want to get to know him and be around him. And I think that's really special.
Wow.
Not too bad.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Bards is very well spoken, and yes, he's bang on there. You know, we're so close. We've been close since we were babies. So, very, very nice things that he said there. But no, I mean, touching on that stuff, I mean, it's nothing. It's a special thing to say, I guess, about the city of Bolzano. And, you know, I think it goes with being a part of that team that season and the relationships you make with not only the people in the hockey world, but, you know, the entire city was behind us and we got a chance to share our memories and our success with the entire city. And we were fortunate enough to all be together for a couple of weeks after the season together to celebrate with our sponsors and celebrate and share all the memories with our fans and everything. And that just shows the relationships built. And not only do we never forget the moments that we had there, but the fans will also never forget that. And, you know, they haven't won the championship since. And I think the fans will still remember that season very, very clearly. And but no, I mean, adding on to what he also said there, and just building relationships in places like that. But Bolzano, I was welcomed so warmly as a player there, but as a resident, I guess, just from local restaurants and families that I've been able to build a relationship with, and you know, they make it feel like a second home for me. And obviously, being Italian and having that same culture growing up with my family and sharing that with Italians from there in that area, you just I can't say any more positive things. Like there's a reason why I go back every single year, even though, you know, I haven't played there in a long time. And people there make me feel like I'm at home, and they always do, and they always tell me that. So it's going to be a lifelong thing. And you know, you never know, I might move there for the rest of my life. Well, you never know that. But it's a beautiful place to live, beautiful place to be, and there's so many beautiful people around there. And very, very honored to be recognized, you know, from what Anthony said, you know, around a place like that. So yeah, super honored to be recognized like that. And I look forward to going back there.
One tiny little correction. I called him or labeled him your former teammate. You narrowly missed out on each other, but you're playing together on the Italian national team. So hopefully he's not going to be your former teammate. Hopefully he's still going to be your teammate for many, many more world championships, hopefully in the A pool, as well as Italy has just been relegated to the Division 1A. But the one term that I want to stick with and I want to talk about is him describing you as a magnetic person. And we all know of the struggles of import players who come over to Europe, play on a different sheet of ice, having to get along with different cultures and all the things that go into it. How important is it to be a magnetic person, be relatable when it comes to mixing and mashing with a new team, new teammates in an entirely new country, even though you grew up Italian or within an Italian culture, but still it's a different continent?
Yeah, I mean, it's I think I can give the credit to my upbringing and, you know, and my parents and just growing up. Like my father actually owned a Italian restaurant pretty well my entire life until I was about, you know, 20 or early 20s. And I was there since I was a little kid, and I wanted to be just like them. I wanted to work. I wanted to, you know, wait tables. And ever since I was a little kid, I was trying to do that. And that goes with, you know, communicating with people. And I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. And I guess I was kind of a little bit outgoing or social, and I wanted to meet people and talk to them. And I also, a big thing for me is I actually learned how to speak French throughout my schooling years. So I brought that into also, you know, being an outgoing person. I would hear French somewhere, whether it's in the restaurant or out and about, and I would try to speak with them just because I knew how to speak the language, and it was a cool feeling for me. So I think I would give credit to my upbringing and the way I was raised. And my biggest thing is respect was a big thing for me in our household. And, you know, you treat people with respect, you know, you're going to get respect back. So I think learning how to communicate at a young age and be socially aware and respectful to everybody kind of allowed me, I guess, you know, the compliment that Anthony gave me, being, I guess, a magnetic person, is just knowing other magnetic people, and he's one of them. You know, if you communicate well and you're very respectful to people, you want to be around those kind of people. And I try to live my life that way. I try to be around other people that have those same core values, and I think it makes a lot of difference. So that's kind of my thought process behind that. And it's cool, I guess, to be labeled as one of those people, but that's just who I am. And I don't think I'll be changing anytime soon.
You grew up with a lot of Italian heritage, obviously around an Italian restaurant. Was it a gimme after coming over to Europe, after starting to play in Italy, that you'd eventually end up on the Italian national team as well?
I definitely kind of getting almost recruited over to Bolzano by a few different people after. So I got the chance to get my Italian citizenship and my passport. So I was told to do that kind of towards the end of my college career, playing into pro in North America, simply because it would open up a lot more doors for me as a professional athlete. So I did that. And I soon after got some phone calls from a few different people over in Bolzano. And basically, I think I did speak to a couple people from the Italian national team at that point too. And I learned that, you know, if I come over and play, I think it's two consecutive seasons in Italy, I'll be eligible to be able to try out for the Italian national team at that point. And with everything going on in my pro career at that point, you know, it gave me a lot of thoughts, and a decision was made. And I obviously decided to jump overseas and play in that 17-18 season, and played 2 years there. And then I was fortunate enough to be able to continue and got a tryout with the Italian national team. And ever since then, I guess, you know, just love being around those guys. And like I said, a lot of them were a part of that beautiful season that we had. And not only hockey wise, but, you know, I'm going to be friends with all those guys for forever. So it makes me want to keep playing for them and playing with them, and gives me a chance to continue my career as well as a whole. So definitely looking forward to what's coming next. It'll be my first time playing in the B pool or in the second division in the World Championships. So very motivated to get back up to the A pool. And as we all know, it's a challenge. So it's I'm very excited for that challenge and really excited to compete this season as well.
You're talking to an Austrian. We're kind of savants of the pro of the process. We've been going back and forth between the A pool and 1B, and Italy definitely has the talent to immediately go back up. And when talking about having two nationalities or growing up in Canada, even though having that Italian background, eventually playing for the Italian national team, is it playing for your national team or is it playing for a national team?
No, it's definitely a culture that, you know, I come from. I come from a obviously half Italian and half Slovenian family. So I consider myself now for sure after living here for so long, basically European. And I think one of the coolest compliments I actually got recently in the last, I guess, year or two, and a couple of my closest friends on the national team, they called me Italian. And honestly, I took that right to the heart, and I don't take it lightly. I'm pretty proud to be able to have a teammate, you know, refer me to as one of them. And it means a lot. And so, oh yeah, it is. It's my national team. It's my country, and I'm very proud to be an Italian player.
It's an interesting time playing for the Italian national team. Just 2 weeks ago, right here on Unibet Hockey O'Clock, I had the distinct pleasure of having the former national team coach of Italy on this program, Greg Ireland, who is now coaching in the Continental Hockey League. The new head coach for Team Italy is Mike Keenan, the only head coach to this day who won a Stanley Cup and a Gagarin Cup in the Continental Hockey League. How have the first few times been being coached by one of the true coaching legends in hockey?
Oh, obviously it's pretty cool. I mean, we've only had one small tournament with him so far, and that was in November. I think it was 4 or 5 days. So it was kind of an introductory thing for him. I think it's a big change for him as well, culture-wise, and learning a whole new team. And I think he kind of really took that week just to take everything in and learn and see what we got. And it was really neat. I mean, obviously, me coming from North America, where Mike Keenan is such a big name for us, a lot of guys over there, like they didn't really know what to expect. They probably don't know his name all that much. And but we tried to kind of let them know that this is kind of a big deal, and it's a really, really known a coach with a lot of success and a lot of experience. And I think it'll be really great for our program and in our stepping stone towards competing in the Olympics in 2026. So very excited for the next time we meet, and getting a chance to speak with him a little bit here and there, just as one of the older guys on the team now, it's exciting. It's just to see the guys learning about him and learning what he has done. And just, it's funny to sit back and watch. When he speaks, everyone listens very, very attentively. So it's pretty cool. And I think that's exactly what the program needs to move forward and to build success.
You've been through your fair share of head coaches, especially in Bolzano, where there's always a lot of turnover. But when Mike Keenan approached you, when you first kind of met him or talked to him, what is the first thing that struck you, the first thing that stood out about him?
He's just so professional, right? He's just, it's a natural thing for him now. It's, I don't know exactly the number, but, you know, you've seen where he's coached, how many years he's coached. I'm sure just the amount of stories and experience and wisdom that he has, I'm excited to continue talking with him, just so many questions, and hopefully ask him for advice on how to get better at certain things. And it's just, it's a great guy to have, no matter what age you are. He's always going to have an answer for you. So, it was really cool for me, obviously being from Vancouver. You know, I remember him, coaching the Vancouver Canucks. And back then I was just a little kid. And so to have that experience and being able to, be coached by him at this, you know, time is, it's just a full circle. It's really cool. To be able to have him, coach, us and at this point in my career, at least, and, just, yeah, it's definitely a surreal feeling a little bit, and, excited to keep working with them.
Definitely imagine that it is a surreal feeling. Of course, Unibet Stats also have his coaching career as regards North America. We're talking about a head coach who, oversaw 1,386 games as a head coach of an NHL organization. Quite something. You've already alluded to one thing that's probably not yet on the radar of a lot of Austrian hockey fans, as we didn't have the honor of gracing the Olympics with our national team too many times the past couple of Olympic cycles. But Italy, as a host nation, is going to be qualified and is hosting the Olympic Hockey Tournament 2026 in Milano and Cortina d'Ampezzo. How big would it be? And you just entered your prime at the age of 30, and obviously a couple of years down the road, you're still going to be in your prime. How big of a goal would it be for you to play for the Italian national team during the Olympics?
Of course, it's probably my biggest goal. And, I've thought about it for a while now, and, you know, we all think about it, and it's kind of been our goal as a team and as a federation to, you know, make strides towards it. And, you know, obviously knowing that we're hosting, we want to compete too. Right. And it's really, really important for us to keep getting better as a team and finding ways to win. And I'm really excited for this opportunity this year. It's only going to be a stepping stone, you know, finally finding ways to win hockey games, and we have to win if we want to play at the highest level. So I think it'll be a really, really big stepping stone for our team and our beliefs and our systems that we have that will help us down the road and eventually in the Olympics. But on a personal level, definitely is a big goal of mine to play for the team in the Olympics. It would be a very, very huge honor and obviously a highlight in my hockey career. And hopefully I'm not done soon after that. I want to keep playing as long as I can. I love the game, but that's definitely been set on my calendar, and I'm going to do everything I can to help the team and work to make the team for sure.
Sure, a lot of people on this podcast as well are pulling the thumbs for you that this dream of, I reckon, every hockey player indeed comes true. But if we get back to the hockey that's being played right now or was played just recently, the one stretch for Fehervar that stands out this year is the one immediately after the national team break, where you were able to rattle off the longest win streak of the year with 4 wins in a row and 7 out of 8. And of course, especially around this year, each and every team is looking for a win streak, is looking to go for or to go on a streak. If you look back at that stretch from basically mid-November to early December, what can this current Fehervar squad take away from the win streak that I just mentioned that will help you down the home stretch of the year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things we can do. We just, honestly, preparation is huge. I think we prepare, you know, we prepare the same way. You know, throughout that win streak, we prepared the same way. We just got to continue believing in what we do, works. And I'm a firm believer that our system does work, and it's a matter of executing and being sharp every day, and every guy putting in their full effort each game. And you put that together with our system, you know, there's going to be some success there, and there should be some wins to reward us with that. So it's all about you know, that desperation and that playoff mind and the will to win. You know, it's time to crank it up a little bit right now. And I think the guys are knowing that, and the coaches are preparing us for that each and every day. So you kind of just got to let the sport happen. And as long as, you know, everyone puts in their best effort, you can't really say much more.
When this conversation sees the day of lights, it's going to be Wednesday. It's going to be the last day of Fairvar's three-game road trip to the far west. Wednesday is the day when the Asiago game will be played. After that, it's an evenly split 4 home games and 4 away games for the last 8 of the year. And that's probably a point where one can bring up the performance indicator, the performance metric that the good people over at Unibet are tracking. They're telling me, or they told me, that Fehervar, as of right now, according to their metrics, has tapped into 50% in terms of their performance or potential performance out of 100%, which indicates a lot of untapped potential. Would you agree with that, or is the untapped potential that this Fehervar squad has within them even higher?
No, I mean, obviously, like I said before, our dynamics are very similar to last year, and in a lot of ways, we're statistically better this year. So I do think the potential is still there. I think we have more in the tank and more to show. And I think throughout this last part of the season, we'll show that. But you know, I don't think we've had a full healthy lineup much at all this year. So, you know, I'm really excited to see when everyone is fully back in the lineup and we're firing on all cylinders and showing what we really have in our full potential. And I think that's when the results will come.
That will be music to not only Fehervar fans' ears, but to a lot of fans of the squad that you gained during last year's finals run. I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for joining the program. Thank you so much for doing this. All the best for your personal recovery. Hoping to see you back on the ice as soon as possible, especially for an incredible home stretch of the season and hopefully for a deep playoff run. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, Martin. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Exzellente Unterhaltung mit dem schönsten Sport der Welt.
Unibet Hockey O'Clock.